Jesus, it is a privilege to get together with your people. And so I pray that the next few minutes, you'd use my words. I know my words are not always very great, and they don't always come together. But God, I just pray somehow you'll do that. You'll touch the people where they need to be moved, where they need to be challenged, where they need to be healed, where they need encouragement. God, would you do that through the word and through the things that I say the next few minutes? In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We're in a series called God and You, and going to continue on. Took the word shape, and we're working with that particular word and using each week to talk about what God wants to do in us and how he wants to use our shape. If you look at Job 10:8, it's kind of the lead verse for everything that we're talking about here. Job 10:8 says this: God's hands formed me and shaped me. One version says he bent me. He bent me. He took me and he made me go in a particular direction. And so God, that we're using that as the jumping off spot for how this God and You series, because we've been talking a lot about God, and now how do we fit together as God made us? How do we come together and accomplish the purposes that he made us for? And so we've been using the acrostic, the S-H-A-P-E, a shape. And so last week we talked about as God formed you, he gave you spiritual gifts. And many of you, I think, were at best challenged with that. Many of you took the spiritual gifts test. You're still not too late. You can do that. I think over 15 or 20 have taken it already online. You can go right to our www.impactfranklin.com. There's a spiritual gifts test. It's not the end all, but it's a beginning place to talk about what you do with your gifts. God has given you these gifts, and today we're going to talk about the H in shape, the heart, your heart. And when we say the word heart, it's kind of a double-edged thing, because oftentimes in the church when we talk about the heart, the Bible says the heart is what? It's deceitful. It leads you in places that it shouldn't normally. And also, it keeps you where you're supposed to be if it's God's heart that you're using in your daily, everyday life. And so it's important to understand this. And so today, coming out of the lockdown and a year of just getting by and eking by and things like that, what I want to do is I want to talk about something that we don't always talk about in the church. And I want to talk about, you know, first of all, what you do for Jesus. And we talk about that a lot in the church. We call that ministry. But I also want to talk about your job. And a lot of you, this is going to, it's going to go right over your head. You're going to go, that's not me, because Jeff, I don't like my job. I hate my job. I'm just doing my job because it pays the bills. It takes care of the things that make our family go. But I believe on a closer look today, you'll understand why your job is so important. And not only what you do in your job, but what you do in your ministry. Do what you do for Jesus for no cost for somebody else. How do you bring those two things together? And so we have to start out this morning by this. You got to need to know your heart. You and I, we need to know our heart and what makes it go. The Bible uses the word heart to describe the bundle of motivations that you have, your desires, your hopes, your longings, your dreams, your ambitions. The Bible uses it all to use that under the heart. And so the things that you care about are the things that your heart has in you, who God put in you, has made you to care about those things. And some of you, there's a lot of things you don't care about because you couldn't care less. And it's very easy to get upset with other people because they don't care about what you care about. They don't care. And that's not right either, because God intended for you to use the heart he gave you to do the stuff and to care about the stuff that he made you to care about. Very simple. And so you can't be jealous, or you can't be the kind of person that says, well, why should I care about that? Because God made us all different. He made us all to care about certain things. Every human being has a unique heartbeat, the Bible tells us again and again. The same is true emotionally. And so that's what we're talking about, the emotional part of your heart, your desires, and all those different things, the things that you care deeply about. The Bible says this in Proverbs 27:19. I think it should come up on our page here today. I love this verse. Read it a couple times. I'm going to. That sounded like one of the Yoda, didn't it? Anyway, I'm going to read this today and see what happens. Proverbs 27:19. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. Let me read that again. As water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. I want you to pause for a second, like we have, and I want you to ponder, what does your life say about the condition of your heart? As you walked in here today, whatever mess you drug in here, whatever jalopy, I don't mean your car, but I mean you, whatever jalopy you moved in to this building this morning, what does the condition of your life say about the condition of your heart? It should speak really loudly. You could speak like Abby did on the piano. You can't help but know that Abby's got some stuff going on, but she's still saying, I love Jesus, and I'm going to choose to love Jesus. There's some of us here that we try to hide the condition of our heart, and everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. It comes out in your words. It comes out in the words you say, some of them pretty crass, some of them crude, some of them just wrong. And they come out of your mouth. The Bible says the condition, as water reflects the face, so your life reflects the heart. And I want you to think about that as we move into this lesson today. The Bible says three things about the heart. Let's see if we can figure that out. Why I say the things that I do. The mouth speaks, the Bible says, what the heart is full of. Isn't that true? If your heart is full of bitterness, then you know what your life comes out? I'm a pretty bitter person. If your heart is full of lust, then you move towards the things that seem to move you in the right now. So when I say the things I do, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The Bible also says the why I feel the way I do. God's word examines the thoughts and motives of the heart, Hebrews says. And so it goes to figure then those are the reasons why our heart is so important and the condition of our heart, and that we know the condition of our heart. And then lastly, why I act the way I do. Guard your heart, for out of the flow of it, the actions of life. Everything that happens comes from your heart. It comes, you say, well, it goes into the eyes and into the mind. Yes, it does, but it flows from your heart. It goes from there. If my heart determines the way I think and the way I feel and the way I act, then my heart is the internal GPS. And all of us know about GPS. We love GPS. We love to pull out our phones because, well, most of us couldn't even live without GPS now. Because we don't think about addresses. We just plug in an address. It goes. Our heart is the same way. God made us with that heart. And so, having said that our heart was made to be passionate, having said that our heart was made to be full of the things of God, why aren't more of us passionate? Why did most of us walk in this place today kind of, eh? Why did most of you walk in here today going, I don't know, I just got to get through this and then to the next thing and the next thing? It's not by accident. It's not by accident that you came here today, because if you are passionless today, God wants to speak to some of you. And some of you aren't going to listen. Some of you are just going to say, this is a stupid message, and I'm not going to listen, and I don't need any of this, because if this is another pep talk about how to feel, you know, really pumped up, no, It's not what it is. It's not what it is at all. So here's what I want to kind of spend the next few minutes kind of thinking about. When I use my heart the way God made me, passion comes naturally. When I use my heart for the purpose that it was made to do, then it comes naturally. I don't have to listen to 50 podcasts to get myself pumped up. I don't have to do a bunch of things that some of us do. I don't need 5 quarts of coffee to get myself going, because passion comes naturally. I'm sorry, I dug at you coffee drinkers. I drink Diet Mountain Dew, so I'm just as bad. It's really important to understand that when you use your heart the way God intended, it just flows out of you. It just comes naturally. Colossians 2:23 says this. Look what it says. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as if you're working for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with your heart. Doesn't say work hard. Doesn't say work harder. Doesn't say work smarter. Whatever you do, work it with all your heart, your God heart. I'm talking about to this morning, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living? And I want to specifically look at that, because sometimes in the church we don't talk about this because we all just kind of, you know, we phone it in. That's what we do. I go to work 9 to 5. I go to work. I do my shift. I do whatever it is I do, and I do it. And I come home, and I try to forget about the last 8 hours, the last 10 hours, the last 12 hours, and I try to medicate myself by whatever I can medicate myself by to go so I can get up the next day and do it all over again. Right? Okay. If you're not saying right, then maybe you're passionate. Maybe you've got your passion. Maybe you found your passion. But if you are saying right, then maybe God wants to speak to you just a minute. So listen up. So I want to say to you today, after being locked down for a year, do you enjoy your job? Do you enjoy what you do? Okay. There may be an issue. As we begin this new push to do what God wants us to do, do you enjoy what you do for Jesus? Do you enjoy it, or do you look at it and go, I have to do that because nobody else will do it? So there's two areas I want you to look at. I want you to think about your job, and I want you to think about your ministry today. What you do for Jesus, not for what you do for this church. If you're doing it for this church, you're doing it wrong. If you're doing it for the pastor, you're doing it wrong. If you're doing it for any other reason than you're doing it for Jesus, you're doing it wrong. You're doing it wrong. Do you love doing what it is you're doing? You don't, when you have that passion in your heart, it's a God passion. You don't need other people to motivate you. You don't need other people to supervise you. You just do it. That's why some of you have some immaculate things at home. You have immaculate yards because nobody has to motivate you to go out there and make it immaculate. Those of you that got immaculate yards, those of you don't, I'm not talking to you. But if you got immaculate yards, you do it because you enjoy it and it brings you joy and you want to do it. Or you got a bunch of cars. Or you got some other hobby that you do. Or whatever it is. You don't have to be told, get out there and work on those cars. You want to go out there and work at those cars. Because it's what? Your passion. It's your passion. It's what you love to do. You love computers. You don't have to be told to go play the games on the computers. You just go because you get so much joy out of doing the things that you do. It's important to understand. Look what Ecclesiastes 2:10 says. Jeff, you're really being hard on us that hate our jobs today. Well, it's not me, because God may want to speak to you today. Ecclesiastes 2:10. My heart takes delight in all my labor. When's the last time you said that about your job? Do you delight in it? If you don't, it could be a spiritual problem, and you may be in the wrong job, and you're going, no duh. No duh. I don't know what else I would do. Oh, just hang on a minute. God doesn't want you just to embrace life. God wants you to enjoy life, not just on the weekends, not just at night. He wants you to enjoy what you do for your boss or for your company or for yourself. He wants you to enjoy it to the fullest. Here's a universal truth. Most people today don't succeed at what they don't like. If they don't like something, they don't do very good at it. And a lot of us aren't doing very good at our jobs. We're just existing. We're just phoning it in. We're just like, you know, I'm getting through it. You know, and so some of us today, this sounds hinky. You're going, Jeff, what are you talking about? I thought everybody was supposed to hate their job. So I'm asking you again, do you enjoy your job? Do you enjoy what you do serving Jesus? You see, when I use my God-shaped heart, what happens is I exhibit passion naturally. It comes out. The key to productivity in your life is to do what you love to do. Another word for God's heart that we use today is passion. God put a passion in our hearts to do what He asked us to do. Passion can be used for good. And passion can be used for bad. So many people are passionately wrong about things today. So many. Because they've not based it on God's heart. They may be passionate, but it's a passion that God placed in them, and they're using it wrongly. They're using it in ways that never, ever was meant to be used. So when I use my God-shaped heart, this passion just kind of comes naturally. God is the author of passion. The passion for something, it goes like this. The more you, here's the difference between passion and lust. Let me back up. I just got that messed up. Let's try it again. Here's the difference between passion and lust because they're so close to each other. Passion is this. Passion for something is the more you do it, the more satisfied you become by it. Lust is the more you do it, the worse off you feel about yourself. Think about it. You ever go to a buffet? You ever go to eat a good meal? And you say, I'm so hungry. And you sit there and you just eat and you eat. Pretty soon, oh, what did I do to myself? My passion is... See, that's lust. That's lust. And it goes for every area of life. Passion, it satisfies us. And it satisfies a need in somebody else's life. Lust only takes care of me. That's the reason why we got to be careful, men, what we watch on the internet. Because it's only taking care of me. It's not taking care of anybody else. It's objectifying something I should never objectify. There's a big difference between passion and lust. Big, big difference. Passion is where you want to give yourself fully to some idea, some cause, some person, and you want to say, this is what I'm about. Passionate people have conviction. They have conviction that says, I know what I know what I know, and I don't care what anybody else says or does, this is what I'm going to do. I am passionate about it. Because it comes out of my natural God-shaped heart. So to review, let's see where we've been. I can know I'm using my God-shaped heart when I enjoy what I do and when I have a fire or passion. Is that you? Follow along. I can know that I'm using the heart that God made me when I'm doing my best. When I'm doing my best. If you're not doing your best in your Jesus ministry or in your job, then you can know that you're not following the heart, the passion that God put in you. Because you're to do your best. Time and time again, the Bible talks about doing your best for him, and you do the best for your master. Who's your master? Your employer. If you're sloughing off, there's a reason why you're sloughing off. It's because you're not doing the job that God intended for you to do. Well, Jeff, this is really easy for you to say. Yes, it is. But I want you to see how your job affects the rest of your life. It's why many of you are so cranky. Many of you are so angry. Many of you are so mad at the world and at others. It's because you're doing something God never intended for you to do. Well, Jeff, go get me a job then. Go get me that right. No, that's not my job. That's your job to find out what God's passion for you is. And that's scary. I understand. Everything that I'm talking about then dredges up fear in anybody that would even look at this little bit and say, you're crazy, Jeff. I'm not about to do that. I've got too much security. I've got this. I've got that. Okay. All right. What hurts us? What hurts passion is fear. Causes us to stop dreaming. It causes us to stop reaching. And so we just accept things as they are. So, Jeff, how do I have a more passionate heart? Let me end it with this. Let me end on a kind of a, okay, here's what you can do. And some of you can take some of this, and some of you will take none of this, and some of you will just say, that was stupid. I shouldn't have been there. You have to look every day at your commitment to Jesus. Every day. You have to look at your commitment to Jesus. Why is that the first step? Because if you're not committed to Jesus, he's the one who gave you the passion to start with. He gave it to you. He gave it your ability to work with your hands. He gave you the thing to have the mind to figure out stuff. He gave it to you. Some of us are wasting it. We're wasting it putting a thingamajigger together and putting it on an assembly line. Some of us are wasting it and going and hating every minute of it and wondering why life is the way it is. But unless you place it under God's control, what happens is that passion that you have, it gets perverted, it gets misused, and it gets wasted. And it gets redirected. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 says this. 37, 4 and 5. Listen to this promise. I think it's going to come up here. I'll read it off of here. It'll be better. It should be 37, not 3. That was my mistake. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Wait a minute. Let me read that again. Take delight in the Lord, and I will give me. No. Somebody else, no. He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he will do this. What a dang good promise. Trust him, and he will do this. But I can't. That would be too scary. I'd be, isn't that an amazing promise? Right out of the Bible. Either believe it or you don't. You call it and say, that's a bunch of poppycock, or you go, I got to start believing. Commit your way and he will do this. It's a reciprocal promise. When you give your life to the Lord, instantly you become a more passionate person. You become more like Jesus. That's the problem with the church. We're not passionate about anything. Why? Because the one who made us, we're not very close to. You get passionate with people who are passionate. And you know how you can tell if somebody's passionate? They've been spending time with somebody who is. Because most of our passion doesn't just well up and come up out of us. Sometimes it has to be encouraged out of us. Sometimes it has to be coaxed out of us. Sometimes it just has to happen. God wants that passion to come out of you, to ooze out of you. Why? So you can make a difference in this world. So that you're different than your coworker. So you're not sitting there thinking that your whole life stinks when you are sitting there at your job and you're complaining about everything that's wrong with the world and your job and your stupid boss and your dumb coworkers and the idiot drivers around you. And passion then becomes from a different place, from the one where all passion goes. And so I would say to you, some of you are going, Jeff, I don't got any passion about anything. And I would say to you this, you're not spending enough time with Jesus. You got time to spend it at work. You got time to spend it on the playthings that you play with. You got time to watch whatever you watch. You got time to do it on your phone. But I don't got time for Jesus. I'm too busy. The closer you get to Jesus, the more passionate you become. You become like the people you hang out with. Any parent notice that about your teenager yet? They come back with that attitude. Where'd that come from? Well, most of it, not us. It came from some kid that they're hanging out with. We become like people we hang out with. So here's a great prayer for you this week. You want to write this down? Write this down. God, let my heart be broken for the things that break your heart. God, let my heart be broken for the things that break your heart. Bring to my heart the things that you want me to be passionate about. There's a great prayer. Forget every other ask this week. Forget asking for anything else. Because when you do that, God's going to come and he's going to meet you. And when he meets you, you're going to have a different look to you, a different sound to you, a different thought to you. You're going to be a whole different person. And if you're not, you know what? You're not spending any time with the one who made you. He wants to do that with you. So look at your life. And look at the things that maybe in the past that you were passionate about. And then today, begin to think, what is it that God really made me passionate about? Some of you are going to have to search really hard. And some of you, you know instantly what you're passionate about. And you're not doing it. You're not doing it. And so here's some things to think about as we close this down. Consider these questions. What fascinates you? What is something that you go, oh my goodness, I want to know more about that? When you're doing the work of your heart, you don't get bored. People ask me all the time, Jeff, do you ever get tired of the ministry? I never get tired of ministry. I get tired in the ministry, but I never get tired of the ministry because I know this is where God wants me. Never have I had a day, maybe one day, I'll be honest, one day have I ever thought, man, I don't want to be in the ministry. But all the rest of them, and that's 39 years, that's a lot of days, I've got, and it's not because of me, it's because of the one that I spend a little bit of time with. It allows me to look at tomorrow and say, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, and I, kind of like Abby, I'm still okay because I know Jesus has got me, he's got my family, and there's some people that I love that are also trying to do the same thing. And that encourages me. And it should encourage you today. What fascinates you? And what do you really love to do? Another question. What do you really love to do? What is it? Galatians 6:4 says, everyone should examine his own conduct so he should be able to take the measure of his own worth. There's no need to compare yourself to others. Boy, isn't that true? But that's what we do immediately. We begin to compare ourselves. Oh, look what they do. Look what they got. Look. We can't compare ourselves to others. Everyone should examine his own conduct, his own heart, his own passion and say, is this what God made me to do? I suggest today, humbly, that you relook at your ministry and you relook at the job that you're doing today. I understand. I'm not telling you to go out and quit your job. I'm not Don't ever say the pastor said that. I'm telling you to reexamine and say, God, this might be the perfect time coming out of this lockdown to go and go in a different direction, to go with my passion, to go with what you created me to do. It shouldn't just be about retirement and then doing exactly what you want to do. Because even if that's you, if you're looking to retirement to do all the things you want to do in retirement, that's wrong too. Because we don't retire from serving God. We never retire from serving God. And then lastly, we got to just step out in faith. We got to step out in faith. You commit your life to Christ again. You examine what you've enjoyed doing in the past. You look at all the options, and then you go for it. And you go for what God has made you to do. Some of you, the best thing, the most spiritual thing that you could do, there's a couple of you, maybe not all of you, but the most spiritual thing you could do is go home today and look at your life and say, God, what do you want me to do? I'm laying my life. I didn't do it before. I went to college because my mom and dad said to do this. I went to this job because it was secure. I never said, God, what is it you want me to do? And then you take my little and you do something incredible with it. I never did that. Maybe that's you today. Joshua 1:9 says this. Be bold and strong. Banish fear and doubt. For remember, the Lord is with you wherever you go. As you move towards that decision, the devil's going to tell you, you're stupid. Don't do that. You can't. Remember, the Lord is with you everywhere you go. There are three killers of passion. It's the fear of ridicule. It happens to us all the time at kids. You can't do that. You can't do that. Educators don't mean to do it, but they do it. I want to be an astronaut. Oh, you're never going to be an astronaut. You know, you're going to be an NBA player. No, you know how many NBA players? All this thousand, and that's all there is. No, we kill it. It's the fear of ridicule that when we go for our passion, that somebody says, no, you can't do it. Another passion killer is the fear of failure. That if I do try, then I'm going to be an ugly, ugly mess after I do it. What if I try it and I fall flat on my face? That's the way things get done. Time and time again, continue to try. That didn't work. See, people do it in the church all the time. You do it in the church so easily. You try one or two things. Somebody got mad at me and somebody slapped my hand. Somebody didn't like the way I was doing it. So I'm never doing that again. Don't ask me. But with our job, people continually slap us around and move us and do things that they shouldn't do, and bosses don't treat us like they're supposed to and hold us up, and we don't hold up our bosses, and we just stay there and we go and do our thing. There's a problem with that, my friends. There's a spiritual problem with that. There's the fear of ridicule, the fear of failure, and the fear of the unknown. But Jeff, what happens if I do that? God knows. That's where faith comes in. That's why some of you need to just jump. Just jump. The antidote to fear and ridicule and failure is always faith. It's always faith. Courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is not the absence of fear. Nobody is courageous if they're not afraid. Courage is moving ahead in spite of your fear. What is it you're dreading to do? Maybe in ministry, you think, if I do that, you can't base your life on fears, church. You have your life on what God has told you to do, and He's showing you, and He's giving you a heart, a God-shaped heart that has gifts and that has passion, and He wants you to do something in this life. He wants you to have a full life now. Philippians 2:13, a very important verse. It is God who is at work with you, energizing and creating the power and the desire and the will to work for His good pleasure, His satisfaction, and his delight. We're working for God's delight. See, whom God gives a desire and a passion, he gives you that power to step out in faith. He gives you the power to do it and to overcome it. So I summarize this message in this one sentence. And here, if you want to write this down, this will help you remember this whole sermon. It's this. Find out what you love to do, that God made you to do, and do it for his glory. There's the whole sermon. Say it again. Find out what you love to do, that God made you to do, and do it for his glory. Someone listening needs to hear my voice. You need to stop drifting. Somebody who's listening to my voice today needs to stop phoning it in. God is saying to you, stop. Stop. Why should we do that? Because someday God's going to ask you, what'd you do with what I gave you? What'd you do with what I gave you? Did you squander it? Did you waste it? Did you let it rot? What did you do? Take the advice of Psalms 37 that says this, seek your happiness in the Lord. He will give you your heart's desire. Give yourself to the Lord. Trust him, and he will help you. Let's pray. Come on up, man. Jesus, we come to you now. I know a lot of things I said are just so hard. It's so hard to think about anything that I've said this morning. I know, God, that you put in my heart not to say some of those things, and then you said, no, Jeff, you need to say those things because somebody needs to hear it. So, God, even if it's just one person today that needed to hear what it is that I just said, I am thankful. God, I pray that you will help us to want to do our best, that you will help us want to live with a passion, not just to live with not just to live with the ordinary, but God, that you would let us live with the passion that comes from spending time with you. God, most of us have to admit that you haven't been first place in our lives this week. And so if there's one here that needs to recommit, if there's one here that needs to start over, if there's one here that's never, ever, ever given their life to you, let this time be that time. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So if you're here today and God is working on your heart, that God-shaped heart, he's pulling at your strings.